Hi, friends. I'm Emily Lay, and you're listening to the Simplified Podcast. If you're looking for a place to slow down so that you can live with a bit more intention, this is it. You've come to the right place. Every week, I invite you to explore the ways you can organize the complicated parts of life so that you can enjoy what truly matters most. We also just released our newest simplified apparel collection. The comfiest tees and a whole lot more are available at emilylay.co/shirts. So I'm not sure if there is a topic more personal than how you spend your money. No matter if you're comfortable or if you're in a hard place, nothing can give you a roller coaster of feelings quite like the situations that involve money. I think we can all agree on that. I hope you've never received an unexpected bill in the mail and felt your stomach twist into a knot, but like most of us, you probably have. And if you've ever paid off a credit card, me, or a student loan, also me, I hope you felt the wonderful sigh of relief and burst of pride when you saw the amount you owed finally dwindle down to zero. If you're figuring out how to share money with a partner at home or a boss or a colleague at work, you know how quickly a conversation about money can escalate into something where tensions are running high. Like I said, money is very personal. Most likely, the way your parents behaved around money informs how you might view it and how you interact with it now. Maybe your parents followed a strict budget or were more relaxed about it. Maybe saving was a big priority. You take these lessons with you as you grow older, get a job, and find that you're the one making financial decisions now. This topic is still a personal one. We're not supposed to talk about it with friends, colleagues, or anyone. But why is money so personal? I think it's because money represents our access to resources. And making sure we have enough resources to survive is something that's been hardwired in us over thousands of years. But I think there's more to it than that. On this show, every single episode boils down to one thing: how to help you figure out what matters most to you so that you can build the life you love. And I will tell you what, money may be an uncomfortable subject for some of you, but I guarantee that how you handle your finances plays a role in building the life you want for you and your family. And when I say that, I'm not talking about building the stuff you want to have. It doesn't mean being able to buy everything off your Amazon wish list, or taking the most luxurious vacations, or buying the fanciest cars. This is about figuring out what your family's biggest priorities are and giving you the ability to decide when and how you want to fulfill those priorities. Having enough money to decide how you and your family want to spend your time and resources, how you truly want to live, that is real freedom. And I want you to have that freedom. So here's what we're going to do today. Starting today, we are going to begin a new series on the show called Simplified Finances. This is something I've wanted to do for a very long time. I'm really excited about it. Every so often, we'll talk about personal finance. And for all you entrepreneurs out there, we'll also talk about making smart financial decisions for your business and how to invest your money to make sure you're getting the biggest possible return on the way you invest in your business. Throughout this series, there's a couple things I want for you. I want you to face your finances, as uncomfortable as that might be at first. I want you to know where your money is. I want you to know how much you have coming in, how much is going out, where it's going, and how you're investing in your future. I also want you to think about the people and the moments that matter most to you in your life, the things you absolutely want to make sure that you show up for with your whole heart and your best, most enthusiastic self. Do you want a schedule that's flexible enough for you to end your workday when you pick the kids up from school or care for an aging parent when you need to? Do you want a job that gets you out of a cubicle so you can work by the cool waters of Maine in the summer and in sunny Florida during the winter? Do you want to have the ability to volunteer at your local food bank and give a sizable donation to them each year? Try to get as specific as you can, because when you pinpoint exactly what matters most to you, when you zero in on the life you'd like to build, the easier it's going to be for you to determine what kind of resources you're going to need to build that life. Then, I want you to have the confidence to know how to make financial decisions that will help you get there. Now, in this series, I'm not going to be talking about this by myself. I'm going to have a very special guest join me to talk about how to simplify your finances, and his name is Brian Lay. So here we go. Here's how to make debt-free decisions for your home and business with my husband, Brian Lay. Hi, B.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so first of all, Brian's at work. I'm also at work, but I work from home. And so if you'd like, you can watch this conversation over on YouTube. If you're catching us on the podcast, then thank you for being here. I want to introduce you, B. I call him B. And then maybe you can introduce yourself and tell a little bit about your background.
All right.
Brian was this really cute bartender when I was a hostess at a restaurant. It was many years ago. And needless to say, we've been married 13 years now. And one of the things that I've always, I mean, there's many reasons I love this guy, but one of the things I've always admired Brian for is his ability or knack. It's really like a natural ability to just be really smart and analytical when it comes to finances. And so he does an amazing job leading our family in this department and also has always taken the lead in advising me on Simplified, on my company. He's also really accomplished in his own career, but I'm super excited to have him here because finances is not, well, finances and numbers in general are not my lane of natural expertise. And so he's always been able to explain things to me in a way that make them make sense and help me prioritize, if that makes sense. So thank you for being here. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, I am Emily Lay's husband. No, I'm Brian. I don't get to speak through Emily's channels very often. And if I call her Sue by mistake, I'm sorry. I don't call her Emily unless she's in trouble. But yeah, you know, I over the years, I've gotten obviously close to Simplified and that business. But, you know, I own and run a couple small businesses myself with my business partner, and it's just near and dear. So I, you know, I've learned a lot along the way, and it's a passion of mine. And so anything I can do to share or help, I'm all game, but I by no means am an expert. So I'll kind of let it sit there.
When I met Brian, you were in college and you walked around with this book at this restaurant that we worked at, but he was studying, right?
I really just always wanted to be a stockbroker, wealth advisor. Really, I wanted to be a stockbroker, like a 1980s red Ferrari Testarossa stockbroker, like Wall Street. So I was actually, when you met me, unbeknownst to you, I was actually in the middle of getting ready to drop out of college to take my Series 7 and move to Naples, Florida and become a day trader.
Glad you didn't do that.
It didn't work out that way. I ended up not going that route and finishing my degree, which is in finance, and with the emphasis in financial services. And then I got into, you know, banking after that. But yeah, when you met me, I was literally studying for that test. It was a pretty grueling test.
Yeah. And you ended up going into mortgages and then later commercial insurance and now are an entrepreneur in your own right doing awesome things. But you've always, I feel like, have always had this like natural ability when it comes to finances and an interest in it, which I think makes a difference too. So to start the conversation, like, just like we said in the beginning of this episode, a lot of the way people view finances has to do with their families and how they were raised and the, you know, importance placed on savings or on avoiding credit cards or what have you. Maybe we just talk about how you were raised and their outlook on money and how that impacted you and or like where did you pick up that trait?
Well, sometimes you learn things because they're embedded in you by others and it's imparted on you and it's wisdom passed down from your parents. But sometimes you learn things almost in the opposite direction. You see what you don't have or, you know, didn't get and you're starved of something. And then you kind of catch on to it. And then it becomes kind of almost an identifiable characteristic or something you really latch onto. So for me, it was kind of the latter. I was not raised in a financially savvy environment. I didn't get those life lessons. I didn't get that coaching. And we didn't have all those means. And my parents just didn't have that background or that wherewithal. But I recognized that I wanted to learn little things. Like if I wanted certain clothes, or if I wanted to drive a car, I had to get car insurance, or if I wanted to get a haircut more than once, you know, every few months, my parents required me to pay for it. And so I had to get a job to pay for all those things as a teenager. And that kind of started the process, right? Like now I'm actually making dollars. I still don't think that I had much common sense about it, even, you know, going into college, right? Like my parents didn't teach me, you know, this is how you prepare for college, or this is how you prepare to afford college. I just, you know, figured I'm 18, I'm going to move out of the house. I'm going to go figure out how to pay for college. I didn't even have the sense to get a student loan. So I like to brag on myself that I graduated college without any debt, but it's really just because I didn't know how to qualify for a loan. And so, no, I don't think I had it. I think I was forced into it. And I think I was forced to work. And I bartended all through college. So I was always in a position of cash. So debt was never really part of my equation. If I needed to make money for rent or needed to make money to pay bills or to pay for classes or books, I would pick up a shift. I worked on a very transactional basis. And I mean, I remember the months or the weeks leading up to like the new semester, like I was taking every shift known to man because I had to pay for college. So I guess in a long sort of answer, on a cash basis kind of taught you just to use what you have. You had to budget very well because, you know, you can only bank on so many shifts. And then, you know, then later in life, I think as when I, you know, my first job out of college, I think it's maybe when I started really getting more of an acumen about me in terms of really what does the big financial picture look like for families or a family or a business.
I love your story so much because it's an example of your situation does not define you, and you can take what you have and build the life that you want. I mean, I think about you working at the bagel shop, you know, when you were a kid because you wanted to buy polos from TJ Maxx, you know?
That's right.
You do what you got to do, right? I was raised in a family that my mom and dad taught me about money, but on the same note as you, like, I didn't know how to get a student loan either, and so I didn't. Until grad school, I did take out a student loan. But then I remember when we started dating, you were so careful with money and so smart and, like, thought really long-term. Like, I was – when we were dating, I was piling money on a credit card to look cute for dates. Like, just because, like, short-term thinking, right?
It worked.
Like, I need the – what'd you just say? It worked? I was piling money on a credit card, though. And then I remember like learning from you about this whole idea of like not carrying short-term debt like that and thinking like, okay, I need to pay that off. And I worked so hard to pay that one little credit card off.
Well, that's an interesting story too. I mean, situations and experiences define, right, your character and your decision-making going forward. Like, you hear stories all the time about the people who grew up in the Great Depression, and for years they still slept with money under the mattress, right?
Yeah.
Well, you look at when you met me. I mean, we met in, you know, right just prior to the actual financial crisis.
Right.
I was in banking. So I had just lost my job in that sector. So you met me during a moment in my life where I was reshaping my financial picture to accommodate a much more modest way of earning because it just wasn't consistent. And so having gone through that is just another experience of a time where I, you know, maybe it's shaped me a little bit in how I look at money going forward.
Let's talk about, so as a married couple, you and I as like the head of our family team, and also you and I like making financial decisions for Simplified, it's tough to get yourself on the same page as somebody, right? Like, whether it be someone you work with or like a business partner or someone that you're married to. So would you say that you and I have a similar view of finances? Before you answer that, and I'm not talking about the pet number of packages that arrive on the front door, but I am. Let me back up and say, when we got married, I don't know if you remember this, but I tell this story often. You said to me, do you want to be CEO or secretary? Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, CEO, duh.
I don't think it was secretary, it was manager.
Okay, manager. And you said to me, CEO is the person that's going to think about the long-term picture, the investments, the insurance, you know, that kind of thing. And the manager is who is going to handle the day-to-day, the bills that are coming in the mail, the making sure that things are paid and that kind of thing. And when you explained it to me, knowing my personality and what I am most savvy at and most interested in, I said, I want to be the manager because I like to handle the day-to-day type stuff. And you handle the more long-term, bigger picture stuff. And that has always kind of defined our roles in our team, would you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what would you say is our like family philosophy when it comes to finances in a way that maybe will help people come up with their own family philosophy?
I always believe in playing to people's strengths.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that in our dynamic or in our relationship, one of us has a strong knack for this skill set. Mm-hmm. But if neither one of us did, the weight might be weighted out differently. But for us, because it is something I'm, you know, heavily invested in, I'm passionate about, I'm educated on, you default to me very quickly. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've morphed into a very similar mindset around money and debt, investing and risk, things like that. But we've defaulted to a common place because you value my position out the gate.
True.
If I didn't have that skill set, you'd be better off challenging me. So it really just depends on what the natural skill sets are of people that are listening. And it's no different than if we were going in an area of organizing our family trips or structure or the day to day. You're so passionate and good about organizing and planning and documenting where we're going to be. And like, it would be a waste of my energy, effort, and time to try to challenge and get my own agenda. I'm much better just relegating those roles to you because it's your strong suit and your skill set.
Well, and because we know our family values underline all of those things. And so we agree on them. Would you say if there is a couple listening that neither one of them feel that it is their strong suit or they're educated enough on the financial things, would you say that it would be important for at least one of them to become educated in that area?
Absolutely. We're talking about money, which, you know, money's not everything, but it's certainly a means to tools. It's a means to so many things. It's such a big part of how we operate as, you know, a community and humans. So Absolutely, somebody needs to make it a priority. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to money.
Totally agree. And that's also to say, if like we just discussed that our dynamic is that Brian handles the bigger picture of things. Over the years, I've learned so much and been involved in all of the discussions when it comes to the bigger picture of things so that I can, in an educated way and a responsible way, carry the have those conversations with you and help make decisions for our family.
If we're being really honest, I know you're going through so much right now. I mean, you were before we lived 18 months in a global pandemic, right? It's hard not to spend your days feeling a bit overwhelmed by all of it. You know what helps me feel a little less anxious? Laying out all my problems, my confusion, and my struggles in prayer. I pour my heart out to Jesus, and he fills me with peace. Sometimes it's hard to know where to start praying, though, or you might feel too busy to sometimes fit prayer into your day. You know I love good books, so I have the perfect one to recommend for you. It's a prayer devotional called Jesus Listens. If you love the devotional Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, or if you're looking to grow your faith and get a deeper connection with God, you're going to love this book. There's a written out prayer based in scripture for every single day of the year, and they cover all the things that run through my mind on a given day, like prayers for wisdom, prayers for health and healing, prayers to help you get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable, not dwelling on the past, thanking Jesus for all the good that's happened. When I don't know what to pray for, I know I can start with the prayer in Jesus Listens as a great jumping off point for my own prayers. Every morning, I start my day off with one of these short 2-minute prayers, and it makes all the difference. Because somehow every single day, these prayers speak to where I am in my life. They make talking to God feel a bit more simple, a bit more doable. And in return, I have so much more peace and joy and hope. That's what I want for you too. You can get your copy of Jesus Listens wherever books are sold, and I hope you do. Because if we're being really honest, prayer changes things. But even more, it changes us. This is the time of year when my calendar starts filling up and my to-do list gets a little longer, and I'm constantly on the lookout for things that save me time and put a little peace back into my day. Do you know what one of my favorite time-saving secret weapons is? Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well. And I know every box I get will be jam-packed with organic veggies and high-quality proteins that'll make my family feel good and taste delicious. That's the key. Green Chef makes it so much easier for my family to eat healthier because they take care of the meal planning, the grocery shopping, and even some of the food prep. That's the kind of practical help that saves me so much time and brain space. And on top of this, every meal I've ever made with Green Chef has been so delicious and Lay family approved. My absolute favorite, well, my favorite and my kids' favorite is the feta cheese burgers. You guys, they are delicious. After a long day of school and work and all the things, nothing brings our family together as quickly as burger night. And these burgers are flavor bombs that every single person in our family loves, including my six-year-old twins. So start saving time and eating healthier with your own Green Chef box today. Go to greenchef.com/simplified125 and use code simplified125 to get $125 off, including free shipping. One more time, go to greenchef.com/simplified125 and use code simplified125 to get $125 off and free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
So probably the main thing I'd like to talk about is our philosophy when it comes to running a debt-free company and also not carrying a ton of short-term debt as a family. Where did that come from for you? And like, why would you say that that is important?
Well, I guess I'll start all of this by saying I'm a big believer in debt. Right? That's not probably what you're expecting to hear. I think debt is a financial tool. It is a vehicle that when properly leveraged and properly used, it can be very powerful and it can create a lot of wealth. That said, there's a time and a place for that. And for Simplified, for the business that we started, really the kind of the way that it came about was it was coming off of an unproven concept out of the gate, right? You were working for the University of South Florida. You had a degree in English. So now we're going to start a graphic design company. We're going to make monograms. Then we're going to go into wedding invitations. And then we're going to go into brands for other companies. And then one day it's going to turn into, I want to order a bunch of planners. So if you're going to take on debt, the outcome really needs to be proven. Mm-hmm. If you're going to take on debt for something that's more risk on, you just have to really think through that. And from an early position, everything that you were doing, whether it was the first order or the scaling and getting to the second order or getting into the new product line or whatever it was all risky. We were taking the chips that we just earned from selling those wedding, you know, those monograms. We rolled those into the invitations and we rolled those in. So we were rolling everything up. And so we weren't in a position to risk it, to lose it.
Right.
And so why would we go into debt when if we don't hit this mark, it's now a liability that we're responsible for regardless. And so it really, the debt-free concept, it makes sense for some. And trust me, I have other companies where it makes sense. So you need to know when to pull on debt. But in this situation, with so much of what we were doing being new and unproven, it really would have been a risky proposition for our family.
But I would say that we did get to a point a few years in where it was proven. Things were selling out left and right. We had customers who were sometimes like angry that things were selling out in 5 minutes and they didn't have access to them. We hated that too. We wanted to be able to have everything for everybody. But we decided not to go out and take out a small business loan. We also had the opportunity to go on Shark Tank. I mean, we went a little bit down that rabbit hole and then decided, you know what? This isn't the right move for us. So what kind of, and I know the answers to this, but for everyone else, like what kind of led those decisions when it was a proven concept?
Well, so when you have a proven concept, and I'm going to substitute another word in here where it may not always apply, but at this point we had a profitable concept, right? So now our business is not only proven, it's profitable, and we have sales data to kind of support forecasting on what we're going to order. Right. So at that point, the decision we made was we didn't really pay ourselves a king's ransom, or we didn't bleed the asset. We actually reinvested. And so debt wasn't even needed at that point. If we were taking big distributions and paying ourselves, and this was our main means of supporting our family, and then we still needed to scale, it would have been impossible without debt. And so we had to scale. Scale is important. You have to figure out how to scale. If you're a growing company and you're hitting, you know, you're making sales and you can project future sales, I mean, scale is important. Growing is important. And the hardest part of a growing small business is cash flow. And so you have to achieve it. Mm-hmm. And everyone defaults to debt. In our situation, we didn't have to. We just didn't bleed the company of its profits. We rolled all the profits back into it. So we scaled differently. Now, looking back, we might have been able to scale bigger, faster, stronger with some debt. Who knows? We didn't, but we just didn't.
Well, and the end goal was not to create a monstrous company to one day, you know, ride off into the sunset with it. The idea was to create a company that could support a team of women, that could support me being the kind of mom I wanted to be. Like that is always at the forefront of my brain when we make those kinds of decisions too. Okay, so that's the business. Personally, we also have tried to quickly as possible, pay down short-term debt, right? So when it comes to our family and our family's debt, we have tried over the years to pay down short-term debt. And when I say short-term debt, I mean things like car loans, or I had a student loan from grad school, credit card debt, that kind of thing. Why do you think it's important to pay down those kinds of things as quickly as possible?
They're expensive in the worst way, right? So my first job out of college was in consumer finance. I was doing consumer lending as well as debt collecting. And if you want to figure out how quickly compounding interest rate debt can stack on somebody and get on them, like collect on debt for a couple of years right out of college, it's real expensive. And I would say that I believe very much in putting money to work, right? So investing, you know, I think you could argue that I'm a pretty aggressive investor in certain things. You certainly can't invest in other avenues if you've got very expensive, sloppy debt. But organizing your debt in the most efficient way possible, like, right, convert your compounding interest to simple interest, convert your simple interest into tax beneficial interest. And then once you've got that secured, then you roll into putting your money into interest bearing accounts where you're now getting paid interest. And then you just kind of stack it from there. And then eventually, hopefully, you're kind of playing in a space where you're able to go after some bigger gains and some more aggressive investments. But like on that pendulum, the real expensive debt, like the car loan, well, not even car, the credit cards, then the car loans, then the student loans. I mean, you really had to clean all that up so you can get more towards the middle and then eventually start being the person who's earning interest.
Yeah. And for anybody listening that just heard all those phrases and thought, huh? would you say it's important for every family to have, or every person, you know, managing finances personally, to have some sort of advisor or coach or that kind of thing, like a person to help them walk through those kind of big long-term decisions?
The easy answer is yes, of course. But the reality is, you have to learn some of this stuff for yourself. I've had the same kind of financial wealth advisor since I was 23 years old. We're going on almost 20 years of working together. But I took the burden of learning a lot of that myself too. So when he and I sit down and have conversations, I'm not just nodding my head and signing off on documents he's putting in front of me. Like, we're having meaningful conversations around what my goals are and what I want to accomplish. So the burden of learning is always going to be on the individual.
Good point. Okay, last two questions for you. What would you say to someone who's listening and thinking like, oh, I'm in so much debt, my finances are hairy, my significant other and I, or maybe if they're a single person and they're thinking like, we're not good at this. I don't know where to start. Like, what would you say?
Well, first of all, what a stressful place to be in. I can relate. I've been there. It's not easy. I would say the whole, we're just not good at this, that mindset, that's got to go. Get good at it. Prioritize your spending, obviously. And then you really have to start figuring out how to scale down your debt, right? You start with the smallest balance first, you pay it, and then you roll that payment into the next. Look for consolidation loans. Look for a way to get that burden from underneath you. Because the minute you have financial flexibility, then you're always going to be in a better position to make better financial choices. But when you're in a bad financial position,
yeah,
I mean, the odds of you making a good financial decision when you're in a bad financial position, slim. It's no different than when you're in a bad mood or you're in a really bad place in your life. What are the odds of you making a really positive and encouraging decision? Like, it just doesn't happen.
It's like going grocery shopping when you're hungry. Like, just don't do it.
Right. Exactly. That's a good analogy. But it's kind of like you've got to maintain the high ground, right? It's the art of war. So if you're always in a vulnerable position, you're not maintaining high ground.
And also, like, know where your money's going. I mean, I think so often we sign up for these like automatic things and automatic payments. We don't look at our bank statements. We don't know exactly what's going on our credit cards. We just look at the big number at the end of the month. Knowing where your money's going, where you're spending your money, and then cutting out the frivolous things so you can pay down that short-term debt, I think is so important.
We say all the time, like, don't confuse action with outcomes. And that applies to businesses as well as personal finances, right? So when we talk about, should I invest in this inventory? Or should I get this office space? Or should I get this new website? Whenever you propose those questions, the first question I always ask you, and you could probably vouch for this, is what's the ROI on it? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to make money on that decision? Hey, I don't want to ship these boxes out of my living room anymore with my 3-year-old son. I want to go to a fulfillment center. Well, great. That's going to cost you on average around $3 a package. How do we get your cost? Like, right. So like,
yeah.
Attach the dollar amount to the outcome. Mm-hmm. In your personal finances, I think people don't do that, right? Like, I'm going to sign up for this Netflix, it was your example, or this restaurant bill or whatever it is. And you go through these financial decisions and you're not actually paying attention to where your money's going. And you don't really know what the opportunity cost is of that money going out the back door. And so if you didn't do those 6 things this month, and you took those dollars and put it over here, what could you achieve? That's the opportunity cost lost. So there's mm-hmm. it's just really attach outcomes to the actions. And that's how you kind of entrust that you're doing the right thing.
But over the years, we have, as most married couples do, like we've come to better understanding and agreements on what's most important for our family in the long term, not just in the short term. So what do we do? When we butt heads on money, or like, how have we gotten to a place where it's become an easier conversation to have? And then on that note, what advice do you have for couples who are like really struggling with the money arguments?
Well, we don't do it perfect. I mean, and we're certainly better at it now after years of marriage than we were early on. Early on, I remember some of those. I still have the scars.
It's always about the boxes that come to the front door for me. I get in so much trouble.
I do know this. There's one thing that you and I do very, very well, and that is that we are very transparent about it.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know if we're doing it all right or all wrong. I could make the argument that, you know, our Amazon Prime account is getting way overused. We probably could stand to have an argument about money. At some point.
And that's the end of the episode.
But I know this. There's one thing that we certainly absolutely do well. And I think we talk about it and there's no secrets in it. And so we've had some tough conversations where mm-hmm. I had investments go bad, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, I bought a territory for a franchise. We moved back to Pensacola and we ended up not opening that franchise. And so that mm-hmm. investment got completely wiped out to zero. And that was expensive. But you know what? It was not a surprise. We talked about it.
No, I was involved in that whole thing.
And so I think there's one thing that we do well is we involve each other in those discussions, especially some of the more important ones.
Yeah.
And there's 100% transparency.
That's a great answer. It really is. I've never thought about how like it is really good that we do that. Sometimes it leads to arguments because we'd hold nothing back. But also having no secrets in life in general, but also when it comes to finances, like that's so important. And I mean, for me, business-wise, I've had some business mistakes that involved commas. And that hurt, but you were aware and part of it the whole time. Business-wise with the debt thing, like I've always just said, like, let's never risk more than we can stand to lose. That's always kind of been my backline, like philosophy on things like that.
I look back at the early stages of your business and maybe if that's where someone's listening, don't be in a hurry to go out and spend on things that aren't going to bring back ROI. I just sold a couple products. I need to go get a storefront in the mall. No, you don't. You don't need a storefront.
Yeah. It was slow rolling in the beginning. Right. I didn't pay myself for 2 years.
Or my website's outdated. I need to get a new website. Well, no, you don't. You can make this one work for another 12 months. Like there's things that you can do to just really make sure that you're bringing home profit. Because if you're bringing home profit, that means you can reinvest and grow.
I am so grateful that you did this and that you'll be joining us again to talk about more of these things. Because I think it's cool. I feel like there are a lot of things that I love to talk about and am well-versed in, but this is something that I am not the most well-versed in. I've committed to learning over the years so that I can carry these conversations and help make decisions for our family, but you are so gifted in it. And so it's also interesting how opposite we are and how great we balance each other out. Like I'm a trigger puller, like new website, yes, sir, let's do it. And you are like, whoa, can we make this work for a little while longer so that money can be better put into inventory that's actually going to generate revenue or that sort of thing. So thanks for that.
Yep. Well, thank you for everything.
I love you. Well, there you have it. Brian Lay's first episode on the podcast. I'm so glad that you guys got to meet him today. I bet you can tell I like him a little bit. he's just great. And he's a great husband and a great dad, but he's just so good at these financial things. And because this is something that I have had to like really work at over the years of truly understanding and being able to show up, you know, in an educated way for my family and contribute in that way, I am just so grateful to him and the way he's led us. And I'm excited to have him back on here more to talk about different things. So if you have questions for Brian or would love to like pick his brain on any sort of financial things as it comes to personal finances or finances in terms of entrepreneurship or business, I know that he would love to hear them, and we definitely plan on having him back. As we close out this episode, I would love to say a little blessing for you as we leave this time together and get back into our days. May you find freedom to know what matters to you and choose how you'd like to live. May you find the confidence that says, I know how to make good decisions for myself and for my family. And above all, I hope you find the peace that says, I have enough and I am enough. As always, I like to leave a little tip to help you put what we've talked about today into practice. So here is your task for this week. Find out where you're spending your money. You can do it the old school way of paying close attention to your bank and credit card statements, but now there are online tools that make this infinitely easier. You can sign up for a program like Mint or Personal Capital or You Need a Budget. You can hook up all your different accounts to these programs, plug in the numbers for your own personal budget, and see if you're hitting your goals or missing your mark. This is super helpful to know how to turn the dials a little bit and adjust your spending to get it where it needs to be. This kind of tool is invaluable because don't forget, what gets measured gets managed. Thank you for listening to the Simplified Podcast. I hope today's episode helps you think about what matters most to you and how you can start making financial decisions to get there a little more quickly. You can find show notes for this episode at emilylay.com/podcast, where you can check out links and resources I mentioned here, and you can shop the Simplified brand of planners and products. Plus, for more simplicity tips, you can follow us on Instagram at emilylay and at simplified, and on YouTube at youtube.com/simplifiedbyemilylay. If you're loving this show, then I bet you might like my latest book called Growing Boldly, Dare to Build a Life You Love, which is in stores right now wherever you buy books. Okay, one last thing. I love bringing you this show each week, and if you're loving it as much as I do, would you please do me a quick favor? Would you go over to Apple Podcasts and rate the show and leave a review? This is a small thing that helps our show in big ways. It tells Apple to put this show in the hands of more listeners who might enjoy some of these helpful tips and tricks. I really appreciate your help. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. Bye.